Which auto insurance company is best? You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies...
Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner, and excuse my voice here, little laryngitis, but that's okay. Recently, Peter shared with me a cool article he came across in one of his favorite magazines, Phoenix Home and Garden. It was a story about a couple, the Beckers, who rescued a desert tortoise and built a really great habitat for him in their backyard. Now, wouldn't you like a desert tortoise to snuggle with on those cold desert nights? Well, listen, we got in touch with Perry Becker, and we're going to be speaking to him later and learn how a professional architect like himself builds a home for a tortoise. Perry also told us about the group he rescued the tortoise from, the Phoenix Herpetological Society, PHS, and all the great stuff they do. Daniel Merchant from PHS will be here next. And later in the show, we're going to hear the amazing story of how an American rescued 5 dogs in Italy and brought them back to America to join his family. But now I want to welcome to the show the curator of the Phoenix Herpetological Society, Daniel Merchant. Welcome to the program, Daniel.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Daniel, what was your motivation for starting the Phoenix Herpetological Society? What needs did you see in the Phoenix area at that time?
Well, it started in about mid-2000. We found that there were animals that were being basically euthanized, and there was no real reason for it. The reason that they were being euthanized was there was no place for them to go. So, I had some property up in North Scottsdale, and we decided that we were going to build a sanctuary, and we were going to give an opportunity for these animals to be placed with us until we could find new homes for them. So we started in 2000, and it's just grown every day since then.
And what are the main activities of the society?
Well, I mean, there's always the day-to-day activities as far as caring for the animals. We have about 1,400 animals right now that we're caring for, and that's from snakes and lizards, turtles, tortoises, all the way up to alligators and crocodiles. So we have quite an array of things that we take care of on a daily basis. You know, everybody needs to be fed. Everybody needs to be cleaned. You know, sometimes we get animals that need to be, taken care of medically. So, I mean, every day is challenging, taking care of all the animals. And then, we never know when we might get that call from Arizona Game and Fish where they may need assistance on going on another rescue. So we're basically 24/7 on call with them. So our day, sometimes we have it mapped out as what we want to do, and next thing you know, everything gets tossed around, and we're on a major rescue, and we're on the road, and we're going out to help some animals.
Daniel, describe your facility.
It was a property. My parents owned it when I was just a young kid, and I lived in the desert since I was just wee-high, and always played with the snakes and lizards in the desert, drove my parents crazy. And it's a 2.5-acre horse property, and we've now turned it into a reptile sanctuary, and it's up here in North Scottsdale. Like I said, we have about 1,400 animals out here. We've got it designed so that we can take people around and we can do tours. With an appointment, you can come out and see what we got going on here. We can show you what we've done, and we have neat stories behind a lot of the animals, their rescue and how they came to us, and we do that every day.
1,400 animals. Wow. Lizards, crocodiles, turtles, tortoises, snakes. That's incredible. Now, Daniel, I read in your bio your extensive experience in actually building proper enclosures for the animals. You know, we frequently read about pet snakes who get out of their tanks or cages. Do you encounter that a lot?
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, people call us all the time. There's some kind of exotic animal running around in their neighborhood, and, you know, we'll go out there and we'll rescue it. And sometimes we're able to find the owners to those animals, and usually when we do, we find that their enclosures were subpar. You know, they were trying to keep a snake in a cage that wasn't secure, or maybe some kind of a monitor lizard that was in a cage that wasn't really secure. You know, these animals, when they're in a cage, they have nothing better to do all day than try to find a way to get out of it. And they will. If there's a weakness in the enclosure, then, you know, they'll find it, they'll compromise
sure.
it, and then they'll get out. And then the problem is that could pose a danger to the public. So we try to educate, you know, proper enclosures, make sure that, these things are safe if you're going to have them as pets.
So, Daniel, where did your construction skills come from?
Well, I've been a cabinet maker by trade since I was in high school. I used to build furniture when I was in woodshop class, and I used to go down to the swap meet and sell the furniture. Everyone thought I was crazy, but it was just a love that I had in building and in construction, so all my whole life. And then right after I got out of high school, I started a cabinet company, and I've done that up until about 2 years ago. I ended up closing down my shop so I could work strictly with the animals, but all my life I've been building furniture and cabinets and things of that nature and all kinds of construction projects. So it comes in handy, you know, when building these enclosures, so I have an idea how things, you know, need to go together. I always make sure that, you know, they're secure, safe for the animals. As of today, we've had no escaped animals at our facility, so we're really proud of that. You know, we want to make sure that all our neighbors are comfortable. You know, when we first started this, we went to our neighbors and we said, look, you know, we're going to start rescuing alligators and crocodiles. They were quite nervous when we told them that, and I said, look, let me put it together, and I'll have you out, and I want to show you what we've done. And now my neighbors actually enjoy it, because now to go to a zoo, they literally have to cross their yard over into my yard, and they can come over and visit me and see what we've got going on. So they're quite comfortable, and that's one thing, like I said, when we're working with the animals, and especially with the volunteers, we always are very responsible. I don't want anything running around out there. I want it to be locked up and safe, and everyone feel comfortable about that.
Yeah, but you're different than most zoos. Zoos usually, they display animals for people's entertainment and exploit them. You're really rescuing animals, and you're putting them in what, as best as you can, in their natural environment, and you're using these animals to also educate the public, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we are, you know, we do have a zoo license, and we just operate a little bit differently. We believe that, you know, with hands-on experience with some of these animals, you can displace some of the fears that people have. You know, people think that every snake is bad, everything is bad, and everything is dangerous, and some animals are actually, you know, not that way. And so what we try to do is we do a lot of interaction with the animals, so we can show you that, you know, they're not all out to kill you. And
right.
We do a lot more hands-on stuff than the zoos do. And we have programs, you know, that we have designed for the visually impaired, you know, programs like for the kids and things like that. We work with Special Olympics and things like that. And we have animals that are very demure and easy to harm. I mean, we have a 6-foot monitor lizard. We have a 6-foot alligator that the kids can actually touch. And for the kids to be able to, you know, visually impaired child to get up there and be able to touch one of these animals in a safe situation and get an idea of exactly what they're, you know, when you're talking to a visually impaired person, you're describing the animal usually in a zoo. They're looking at an animal off in the distance, and they're describing that animal to that visually impaired person. And that person then has to put an image in his mind of what that is that they're describing. But here what we do is not only do we tell you about it, but we let you touch it. And, again, it's only animals that are very safe to interact with, but those kids now can touch those animals from tip to tail, and they can feel exactly what we're describing, so they understand 100%. We've done several programs like that. And, you know, even some of the disabled children, you know, we have some, Down syndrome kids and stuff like that. You know, sometimes they can't comprehend everything until they're really up close and they get to touch these things and they don't fear them again. And that's what we want. We don't want them to fear everything. There's some animals you have to respect and some, you know, you can enjoy.
Right. And just for my listeners' sake and for mine, since we're a lot of us are animal advocates or animal rights activists. Most of these animals, if not all of them, you can't really put them back in the wild, correct? So they need to be in some habitat or some sanctuary like yours, correct?
That is correct. There are laws in place that says once animals have been in captivity for a length of time that they cannot go into the wild. The problem you have with, people always ask that question to me is, why don't we take alligators and why don't we turn them loose, back into Florida where they would be happy and they would live great? I would love to do that. The problem is that these animals become pets. People buy them when they're very small, and the alligator becomes very used humans. So if we take an alligator, we pose two problems. One is that we could be taking an animal, let's say, that is carrying some type of disease or bacteria on him now that he's been in one place or another, and we release him into the wild. He could infect a population of animals that be compromised because of that. So that's not good. The next thing is an alligator now that's been in captivity, that he's used to a human coming up to him and giving him food. So what happens is let's say we turn a 10-foot alligator loose in Florida, and someone's out there fishing or has their family out there on a weekend, and this 10-foot alligator that was once somebody's pet is now seeing a group of people come up to the shore, and it thinks, oh, wait a minute, I remember this. This is feeding time. And it comes up, and it's looking for food. And now you have your children, maybe your pets with you. It poses a huge problem to the public. So because of these reasons like that, we can't release animals into the wild. Sometimes we work with universities. They do only humane studies where they do motion studies, longevity studies, growth studies, and they work with these animals. So we're able to supply them animals that are basically deemed they have to be in captivity versus going in the wild and taking an animal from the wild to study it. We have animals of all different types that can be researched and studied humanely, and therefore we're not disrupting or taking animals from the wild to do this. In the past, before we were
Daniel, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to go to a break. Stay with us. We're speaking to Daniel Merchant. Very interesting here. The Phoenix Herpetological Society. Stay with us. This is Animals Today.
For a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade, the temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Calling people using long distance was draining my wallet. So to save money, I'm only calling people with toll-free numbers. Do any of my friends have them? No. Any family members? Nope. You know, no one I call has a toll-free number. So, Mom, if you're listening, I got your messages. Tell Cousin Tommy I hope all is well. And honestly, would it hurt you to look into an 800 number? I'm your only son, for crying out loud.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. Or follow this guy's toll-free pension and call 1-800-947-AUTO.
If you've never experienced gelling with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles,
you've never walked all the way to work on top of cushy throw pillows,
or worked a jackhammer while standing in a field of beautiful daisies.
That's because gelling does more than change the way you feel. It changes your state of mind.
So I can teach my class while enjoying the soft white sand under my feet.
Experience outrageous comfort for yourself. Just go to Walmart and look for Dr. Scholl's massage and gel insoles. Are you gelling?
I'm glad I have feet.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of The Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how The Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that The Total Transformation program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Daniel Merchant. He is with the Phoenix Herpetological Society. Daniel, do you have any memorable rescue stories you'd like to share with us?
Well, I could tell you stories. Your show is definitely not long enough for me to get all of those in there, but one that comes to mind was when they came to us in Arizona Game and Fish that that we needed to go on an alligator hunt in Arizona, and I'm not really sure how many people here in the state can say they went hunting for an alligator in Arizona and actually were successful. So that's one that's very interesting and always comes to mind when somebody asks me that question. But, I mean, there is so many that the day is not long enough to tell all the stories.
And, Daniel, I have to ask you this because not too long ago we had a guest on who thinks, as a rule, snakes should not be pets. So you mentioned you rescue lizards and crocodiles and turtles and tortoises and snakes, and you try to find them good homes. Which, if any of these, do you think are appropriate to have as pets?
Well, there's definitely, in every category there are the good ones and there are the bad ones as far as pets go. You know, when we're talking with snakes, you know, we have young kids that they see these giant pythons and things in people's homes or in zoos, and they think, how cool would it be to have one of these? But they are extremely powerful. They can become, you know, dangerous with that kind of size. But there are a lot of good snakes out there that make very good pets. I mean, there's no reason why your child, if he's into snakes, why he couldn't enjoy one of these things. I mean, we have corn snakes, we have ball pythons, you know, these are king snakes. These are all types of snakes that don't get very big. They're not known to be a biter, so they make good pets. You know, a tortoise versus a turtle, you know, tortoises we feel make better pets. Bottom line, if it grows enough to eat you or with a single bite can kill you, this is not a pet, okay, and it shouldn't be kept in a house.
Well, yeah, right. And Daniel, I think my prior guest who mentioned this was not really thinking of the person's well-being as much as the animal's well-being, that it's just not fair to the animal to keep as a pet.
Well, I mean, you know, as long as you're providing it proper care, proper husbandry, and a large enough enclosure, it can be done. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt that every animal, I'm sure, would be much better off in the wild. But we have to be realistic, you know, in today's world, you know, there are pets, people make pets out of these things. So it's not, you know, saying just no, no, no to everything. I think what it is we need to educate. We need to explain to people that you can have these things as pets, but let's do it the correct way. You know, there are ways to make your animal very happy. I mean, we have animals here that you would be shocked. And the reason they're not aggressive and they don't bite is they're very happy in their enclosures and they're very well fed. And that's a key to making these animals very happy. I mean, in a sense, our animals do better in our captive situation than they do in the wild. I mean, in the wild, they have to hunt. They have to compete for food. So, I mean, they're working really hard. Around here, they have it made. It's like a hotel.
Daniel, I'd like to hear in the last minute more about the educational activities you provide. Are we talking school kids coming to you, or do you go out to them?
We do all of the above. We go to schools. We have schools come to us. I mean, this afternoon we have two school groups coming to our facility today to do a tour. We are actually in the process right now of building a full-blown classroom on our facility so we can have the kids here in our classroom setting where we can do videos, we can do workshops, we can do all different kinds of things. And we do that all the time. So we can either, you know, go off property or we can stay on property, and we have means to do both.
Daniel, prior to starting the society, what was your involvement with animals?
Well, you know, as myself as a young kid, I mean, I loved tortoises and reptiles, and tortoises were probably one of my favorites. So as a kid, I always had some kind of a pet, and I always took care of it, and I always enjoyed it, and I found, you know, reptiles to be very fascinating, and it just, you know, grew from there, basically. And, you know, everyone always said that they thought I was going to end up growing up and working at a zoo, and lo and behold, I started my own.
Daniel Merchant, Phoenix Herpetological Society. Give us your website, please.
It's phoenixherp.com.
Phoenixherp, H-E-R-P.com. Daniel, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today.
No problem.
Now I want to welcome Perry Becker, who, with his wife, Sandy, rescued a desert tortoise from the Phoenix Herpetological Society. Hi, Perry.
Dr. Lori.
Perry, why did you want to do this, to rescue a tortoise?
We just thought they would make a wonderful addition to our household. They're very noble creatures, and we thought it would complete us.
And so you contacted the Phoenix Herpetological Society. What did they tell you, and what did they tell you you would need or need to do to adopt a tortoise?
Yes, they have a very complete website. And we had run across an article that they had in the local newspaper, and it directed us to their website. And you actually have to make all the preparations before you adopt the tortoise. And so there's an adoption package that shows you how to prepare a burrow, which is an underground home for the tortoise, and then their enclosure, and then what kind of food that you would need to sustain the tortoise. And we had to make all those preparations and fill out the adoption form. You take photographs of the improvements that you make, and you send that in, and then they approved us.
And so, Perry, describe briefly what you constructed in your backyard.
Well, we wanted to make the most wonderful tortoise oasis for our tortoise, who, by the way, is named Tony Tortellini is his name. And so we wanted to make something zen-like that we would want to come visit. So there's a gabion rock wall, which is it's about 18 inches high, and we're able to sit on that, and that's so that we can interact with the tortoise and also so the tortoise can't escape. It needs to be a solid wall. If they're able to see through the fencing, Dr. Lori, they end up, it'll stress them, so it has to be solid. And we built this very nice natural-looking rock wall. We built a very naturalistic-looking burrow for the tortoise, which looks like you would find it in nature. And then you have to, Tony has his own little lawn that he eats, and you have to put a little water dish in there and then plant some plants also that he might nibble on during the day.
And we see your article in the Phoenix Home and Garden, and it's really quite amazing what you built here. It shows pictures. I'm sure Tony Tortellini is very happy. How old is he, by the way?
You know, they can't exactly tell how old the tortoise is. It's not like counting rings on a tree or whatever. So they make estimations based on the size and then how much wear and tear there is on their shell. They think that Tony's between 15 and 20 years old. And he's very active, and he's a very vigorous tortoise.
And how's he doing?
He is doing so great. He's getting ready. He'll be going into hibernation later this month. So he's getting all ready for that. He'll fatten himself up as much as he possibly can, and then he'll stop eating for a little bit and get ready to he'll go for a big sleep, Dr. Lori, for maybe 5-6 months. We won't see him till maybe April.
Wow. Here. Your baby's going to take a long nap. Perry Becker, thank you so much for coming on Animals Today.
Thank you for having us, and Tony Tortellini. A pleasure talking to you.
Don't go away. We're going to hear an amazing story of how an American, one of my friends actually, rescued 5 dogs in Italy and brought them back here to America to join.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually in the U.S. on average. 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? We're talking about your vacation bucket list. Bucket list travel doesn't have to break the bank either. International travel expert and author Lee Woodruff says you can really have an affordable trip soon, thanks to the shoulder season.
Shoulder season is the sweet spot right now after the high season, when rates are lowered to attract visitors. Here's one way you can take advantage. Right now, Expedia is celebrating its 15th anniversary with 40% off of thousands of hotels worldwide. Plus, as part of that promotion, you can have a chance to enter their Search for the Million Point Suitcases contest on the Expedia Facebook page, where 15 million Expedia Rewards loyalty points will be given away to Facebook fans through an online scavenger hunt. Free dream trips are up for grabs, such as a 2-week stay in a 5-star Paris hotel.
Lee also says the key to this deal is to book between today and October 17, 2011, with travel scheduled by the end of the year. For more information, visit Expedia.com.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800- 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. Now I want to welcome Frank Riella, who is a personal friend here in the desert, Palm Springs, California. Frank is an attorney and an animal advocate and recently shared with me his story about rescuing dogs while in Syracuse, Italy. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Lori. How are you?
I'm great. Frank, now you were living in Italy, Sicily specifically, when you came to adopt, rescue, I should say, a few stray dogs. Tell us what happened.
That's correct, Lori. We were living in Italy, and we owned a country home there, which we still own. And there's this terrible problem, this dirty little secret about Italy. There's no infrastructure to take care of animals in the way that we have here. And these sad, abandoned, and stray dogs would stroll up to our property hungry and covered with fleas and ticks. And, you know, what could you do other than feed them and take them in? So we did that.
And you brought them back here to America?
Yes, we brought a number of them back here. We probably rescued about 8 or 9 dogs over there. And
wow.
Some of them we found homes for. 1 or 2, unfortunately, passed away. And we brought 5 back. And that was an ordeal in and of itself. I don't know if you've ever brought dogs back from Europe, but it's a little bit daunting.
Yeah, I know you have to go through a lot of hoops there. Frank, how are they doing here in the desert?
Well, they're doing great. 3 of the dogs were the strays that were, they were on death's door when we found them, scared and weak, and we had nursed them back to health in Italy with the help of veterinarians there. And imagine that these are dogs that had lived their life on the street, that they had never been on a leash, they had never been in a car, let alone a plane, and traveling halfway around the world. They made the trip with the help of a few tranquilizers, and they have since adapted to walking well on a leash. And from being primarily outdoor dogs walking the streets, they now cuddle up in the, you know, in front of the sofa when we're watching TV or reading a book, and they're doing great.
Yeah, they pretty much hit the jackpot with you, Frank. Frank, tell us more about the situation with abandoned and stray dogs in the Syracuse area.
Well, you know, it is a Syracuse and Sicily are kind of like the Florida or the Palm Springs of Italy, where many Northerners come down and vacation. And what you have this particular problem in seaside and resort areas in Italy, where people will get a dog, and then they go back to their home up north, and they leave the dog. And so those dogs then have puppies and create these packs of stray dogs and abandoned animals running the streets. It's a sad situation because they're beautiful, intelligent creatures, and you see them in supermarket parking lots or the parking lots of shopping malls, and they'll come up to your car wanting to get in, and you can't take them all home. And it's a very sad situation. I found myself going everywhere with bags of food and cans of food and bottles of water in my car to leave food and water for them everywhere. And it's about the most you can do.
Yeah, it's amazing. People get their pets, get their dogs at their time, at their convenience, for their pleasure, and then when it's no longer convenient for them, they'll just abandon them and leave them. Frank, now there are animal shelters in Italy, I'm assuming, but not like here in the U.S. How do they operate?
That's correct, Lori. I can speak more to the situation in Sicily. The shelters in Sicily are pretty rudimentary. Of course, the climate is pretty good, but they're essentially tracts of land where you might have 100 or 200 fenced-in kennels or runs. And they are usually owned by private individuals, and the city contracts with them to take care of stray or abandoned animals. There's no incentive to adopt them out because when the owner of that shelter keeps a dog, they get paid each day or each week for keeping it. So it makes the shelter owner wealthy by having it full to capacity and keeping those dogs for a length of time. And also, you as a citizen, as a private citizen, cannot just bring a dog that you find on the street to the shelter. That's the job of, for example, a police officer. And, of course, in Italy, crime is much lower. We don't have the police forces you have here. They're not as big. And I should say that police are a little less effective than here as well. And so what happens in reality is many, many thousands of dogs don't ever make it to a shelter, and they end up dead on the streets or dying of starvation.
So a good-hearted citizen, compassionate person, sees a hurt or injured or starving dog on the street, wants to get it to shelter, has to call the police, and then therefore the police may or may not come out and rescue that dog.
That's correct, Lori. For example, you might see a dog and you have to call the police and say, you know, there's a dog in the middle of Main Street and he's causing a traffic problem and people are going to get hurt if that dog causes an accident. And then maybe a police officer will come out and try to get that dog into a shelter. Otherwise, the dog will meet its end by a traffic accident or starvation. And there are many people like me and my partner who would drive around with food and water in the car and regularly leave food at specific places where dogs congregate. But given the number of dogs, and cats, I should say, that are out there, it's a small dent in the real problem. Cats fare a little bit better because there's an Italian custom or habit or belief that if you feed stray cats, it brings good luck. So people are more likely to leave food out for cats and not be as afraid of them. But dogs really have it pretty bad in southern Italy especially.
So, Frank, do animal welfare organizations have much of a presence there?
You know, there are animal organizations in Italy, Lori. I mean, certainly there's a well-known branch of the World Wildlife Fund. But in the way that we know nonprofits that do a lot of good work and have volunteers and raise money, that doesn't exist nearly to the extent we have in the United States. Italy has suffered from a stagnant economy and a problem with unemployment for a very, very long time. So the idea of giving your time to a nonprofit or raising money or giving it to a nonprofit is not as much part of the culture. The few organizations that do exist are kind of rudimentary. They don't have the same power and organization that we have. And as a matter of fact, there is a National League for the Defense of Dogs. And I actually met the president of the Siracusa chapter at one point, and that was pretty interesting.
And I remember you told me a little story, I think, related to meeting the president of the National League for the Defense of Dogs. Can you tell my listeners about that?
Yeah, sure. It started out as a nice enough evening. We had met with a group of other people who were interested in animals and helping the dogs at her home, which was overrun with dogs and puppies of all kinds. And she was a nice enough lady, but as we started talking about the dog problem, she expressed that she felt every female dog should have the pleasure of having at least one litter of puppies before being sterilized. And I was appalled that the head of the Sicily chapter of this national organization could have this belief. There was no real talking to her logically about the exponential growth in the pet population as a result of even one litter per female dog. And, of course, I expressed that I thought she was projecting her own unfulfilled needs of motherhood on these poor animals. And I don't know that that comment went over very well, but I think it hit home. And that's kind of the attitude.
Right. It's incredible. You and I, in our local area, we work so hard to try to educate people to fix their dogs and cats and go to the shelter to adopt and save a life. And here, this woman who's supposed to be, quote, an animal, you know, activist or advocate is saying, yeah, I believe every dog should experience to have one litter. That's just incredible. Frank, in the last minute, can you generalize about the treatment of dogs and cats by Italians compared to Americans?
I would say that I should say that many Italians do treat their animals well, as we might do that, and especially those who are well-educated and cosmopolitan and well-traveled. However, there is a larger segment of the population, I believe, anecdotally compared to here, that thinks of animals as a lower form of life and might chain up the dog in the backyard and think of them as more disposable than we might see here. And that's the major difference that I see.
Yeah.
And that was very hard to observe over time.
I bet. Frank Riola, thank you so much for sharing your story and your experiences with us here on Animals Today.
You're welcome, Lori. Have a good day.
Thank you. Peter and the news up next right here on Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
I hope you have some nice, sweet animal stories for us to share.
You know, when you're looking around for what's out there, sometimes you just hit a negative patch.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Well, we'll do the best we can. And starting in Libya, you know, Gaddafi, who knows where he is now, but he had this big, you know, private zoo menagerie with all these animals. He had 1,000 ostriches, rare breed camels, herds of hybrid cattle, various breeds of sheep and goats, all, you know, for his pleasure. Well, that was abandoned, and the facility was found with the animals just starving and dying from no food and no water.
Oh, my God.
And when they realized what was going on, half of the 1,000 ostriches were dead.
Oh.
And now the animals are being cared for. There's I saw a veterinarian being interviewed on a video, and but still they're at risk from poachers and people who are looking for food.
Yeah, that's so sad.
So isn't it interesting? These dictators and drug lords, they just want their private zoos.
Right.
Isn't it? It's a funny phenomenon.
Yeah.
And they're exotic animals. You know, the sheikhs in Saudi Arabia have their private zoos with the exotics from all over the
place. Well, some celebrities do too. Didn't Michael Jackson and others have their own
Michael
little private?
Michael Jackson had, yes, I forgot what he called that place, but he had a zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
With monkey. Remember the monkey?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know what?
Right.
Incredible.
Well, so now there are 500 less ostriches.
Okay.
Good news.
Oh, good.
In Ottawa, a woman faces 10 months in jail for starving her dog to death.
Oh, good news.
Well, the good news being that there's a newly strengthened Provincial Animal Welfare Act, and this woman is ensnared by this when her neighbors turned her in and she was found to have a dead dog in her home. When questioned about it, she denied knowing anything about it at all. Okay, and then
denied not knowing about her dog?
Didn't know.
She had a dog?
It wasn't her dog. She didn't know anything about it.
Okay.
She's not got the best defense.
So what does this act provide?
Oh, it provides for just a stronger prison sentences for animal abuse.
And that's 10 months?
Well,
it's not
10 months is a lot more than
okay.
You typically get around here. If someone found a dead dog in a you get Palm Springs apartment, nothing would happen to
right,
them.
Right, slap on the wrist.
Maybe.
Right.
Okay, so.
Okay, I guess that's good.
They had a trial, and she failed to be present at the trial, so she was tried in absentia and sentenced to 10 months in jail in order to pay $500 restitution, lifetime ban from owning or having custody or care of any animal, and ordered to allow unannounced inspections of her residence to ensure compliance.
Good.
Pretty strict.
Good.
That's Ottawa. Okay, so they're really publicizing this so the everyone knows about it.
Yeah, and hopefully other ordinances will follow in other areas.
Yeah, it should catch on. We'll see.
We'll see.
Humane Society International is calling for a halt of China's fur trade to Australia. You know, Australia, there's a, you know, these boots that are popular, these UGG boots. That
UGG
everyone,
boots.
They're ugly, and they are have got fur on them. And
like real fur? Don't say real fur.
Well, it turns out that a hair expert has analyzed and found that frequently, especially in the Australia ones, they are dog.
Oh, no.
And
they're sold here?
Well, they're sold here, too, but we're talking specifically about the Australian market
right.
for these boots.
Right.
And domestic dogs are being killed. They're being skinned alive and for their fur, and they are making it into the boots.
This is incredible.
And obviously, it's not labeled as such. And if people knew, I mean, all fur, in our viewpoint, who wants to wear fur in your body, right?
Right, right.
But for many folks, the thought of wearing pet dog fur on your body, that would really freak them out. Well, it's happening.
So what's going on there?
Well, it's an international thing. You've got international agencies looking into it. Denials, obfuscation. I mean, the word is finally getting out, and people are just trying to apply pressure. But
so originally, we'll see. What were they claiming that fur was made out of? Just synthetic?
Well, no, they're just
faux fur. They weren't claiming anything.
That's right.
And so someone just decided, let's analyze a hair on this boot.
Well, they decided to analyze it because the stories were coming out, you know, that maybe the fur is from dogs, because everyone sort of knows about that.
That's just incredible.
So consumers should be aware.
Absolutely.
First of all, we know that if it's labeled synthetic, you can't always believe that.
Right.
That's the first thing.
You got to stress that. People don't know that. If it's labeled synthetic, don't believe it.
Right.
Isn't that incredible? A store or a manufacturer can label something as faux fur, meaning fake fur, and it may not be.
Right.
It may come from Australia or China and be made of dogs that were skinned alive for their fur.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's happening. It's very tricky. There are, we've talked about this, I think, a year ago. There are certain companies, they're high-end companies, and they are fashion houses, and they will guarantee that it's synthetic. And there's an agency that will attest to this.
Yeah.
And we can put that on the website. I'll find that, okay?
Yeah, we should. And also, Peter, we should bring someone on again to talk about that.
Okay.
Because that's really incredible. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are hearing this for the first time.
Yeah.
Don't believe labels. They're deceiving. They're not truthful.
Particularly in the low end stuff.
Right.
Okay. You really can't believe that.
Right.
So yeah, let's explore that a little further.
Okay. We certainly will.
In Muncie, Illinois, a Good Samaritan witnessed someone else driving around and had a bag filled with four puppies, threw them out of their car.
Oh, my God. Live puppies?
Live puppies. They were rescued by this Good Samaritan, and they are being nursed back to health by the Muncie Animal Rescue Fund. They're trying to figure out who did this. They don't really know. But I just put this out there as evidence that here in our local area, Palm Springs, California desert is not the only place that this happens, because we seem to hear about this all the time locally.
Right, where people dump boxes of live litters of dogs and cats in the desert or trash bags in the dumpster.
Right.
Happens all the time.
Well, it happens in Muncie, Illinois, too.
Okay, well.
Does that make you feel better?
No, it doesn't make me feel better. It makes me like animals more often than people.
Yeah.
But I'll just tell you this. People need to be aware and observant, and if you see anything suspicious, please report it. Please. I mean, this just can't go on. You can't let someone get away with this. You're listening to Animals Today. This is your home for serious talk about animals. This show tackles the important issues concerning all animals, how they're treated by people, about their place in our society. And of course, we promote greater respect for and kindness towards all living creatures. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen. French President Nicolas Sarkozy spoke in Berlin after talks with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The two say they've agreed on a proposal but declined to elaborate, saying they must first discuss it with other European leaders. Sarkozy said a comprehensive response to the